introduction. My name is Tzvi Zimmerman. I'm the brother of Uri. I'm the brother of Renan. I'm the brother of Shmuel. And for those who were here a year and a half ago, I'm the brother of Chaim. I was here years ago. I was in this room. It's kind of hard standing where Rabbi Hartman sits, but I was never in this room for a year. So I went for a month and a half. I'm a Dave guy. What can I say? I'm through and through. I'm a Dave guy. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it comes out. All right, so let's go. I promised Uri that I would tell you something a little crazy. I'm going to go quick. I'm going to try to do this a little bit quicker. I want to get this done in 35 minutes instead of an hour, and I'm supposed to be somewhere at 1:30. So we are going to try to run this through. But just be prepared. If you have questions, don't ask them here. I don't care. It's just, bring them up afterward. I'll answer them. There'll be good answers. You don't have to worry. If you didn't understand something, Uri will translate for you. He'll be in the Torah once tomorrow, and you can deal with him later. Renan and Shmuel also deal with it. You don't have to worry. Here we go. Start to look at this. The strangest part of this parsha is the fact that Yaakov Avinu seems to be the man of Malach. He's the person last week's parsha who saw Malachim at the beginning of the parsha, and the Suam. He saw Malachim at the end of last week's parsha with Machanayim. And in this week's parsha, he sends over some of these Malachim over all the way to Esav. Now, it's unbelievable that Esav was on the level to be able to see a Malach. That's a crazy thing altogether, to be able to understand. He saw a Malach. But he sent over Malachim. He sent over real Malachim. Rash says Malachim Amish. The Grizz asked this question. He said, I don't understand. Why was Yaakov Avinu the one who was known for Malachim? Now, Yaakov Avinu had three Malachim visit him. That we understand. But he never had Malachim with him. There were no Malachim nowhere around him, going wherever he went. Yitzchak Avinu never had Malachim wherever he went. It's only Yaakov Avinu. Now, wherever he seems to go, he has Malachim with him. He fights a Malach. He fights a Malach. Who fights a Malach? Who's able to do that? Who goes up against a Malach and fights him? It's the strangest type of a concept you can ever imagine. The strangest, and I still remember being in kindergarten, first grade, I don't know what it is. It's just you remember the pictures. You know those pictures you're supposed to color in between the lines, get them in first grade, and the picture of the Malach, anything, come on, everybody knows, from Makas Choshech, and all the Mitzrayim, for some reason, when Choshech hit them, all of a sudden they were like that. You know what I'm talking about? Like doing the kata? Like everybody standing there, there's like one Egyptian that like somehow found himself on the ground like that, like right before darkness hit, and all of a sudden he like paused, and he just did a pose. It worked out perfectly. Everybody, you've seen these pictures of Yaakov and the Malach is standing one way like this, and Yaakov is the other way like that, and they have like their hands locked against each other, and that's how you picture, who fights a Malach? What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? What am I drawing? What am I giving to my little kids? They go to, it's Fair City, so at the Beit Yaakov school, and they're stuck like that. They don't do that. They just learn. They just learn prayer. It's a theater. All right, anyway, but regardless, what does that mean? Aside from that, I have something in my family. We've been doing it for a while. We've got a long family history, and we come from very strange roots. We sing Ki Malach Avitzavelo, Ki Malach Avitzavelo. At least more on Friday nights. We gotta go. It's great. The kids love it because, like, all of them know it by now. So they go to the we get really into it. That pasuk is supposed to have been said for Yaakov. What does that have to do with Yaakov? Why Kimalach Avitzavelach? But Chaim Knievsky says that Yaakov was the only one of the others. The only one of the others. And the Grizz says it from the words of Shmartiach B'chol Asher Telech. But he was the only one of the others that a Kaddish Baruch who said to him, you have to go by yourself outside of Eretz Yisrael. Avinu always had an entourage. Wherever he went, he had people with him. He had Lohi, he had the Nefesh Rosh Bukhar, and he always had somebody with him. Yitzchak Avinu never left. He didn't have that problem. But Yaakov Avinu went by himself. He was alone. If somebody's got to go alone, I've got to send him out. I've got to send Malachim with you to be careful. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you wherever you go. He needs the Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to promise him that I'm going to be with you. The Grub, when he used to say goodbye to people, when people were telling him that they were going on a trip, the Grub used to tell them, Yochid Barabim Malachit Karabim. An individual and the public, you go with the public opinion. You go with the Rabbim. So everybody was asked, what's the job behind that? Why would the Grub do that? Why would the Grub say it? So the Pashk shot is because he wanted to give them a Dvar Halacha. Very simple Dvar Halacha. Everybody understands this. That way, when they leave, they're thinking about the Halacha. So when they're traveling, they got Torah with them and everything works out well. Beautiful. Unbelievable. Chaim Elazar says, no. That's not the reason why. You know why he did this? Because on Pesach, you have a Magen Avraham that says you're supposed to dip out of your cup, or you're supposed to pour out of your cup 16 times because you have the Makos. You're supposed to pour 16 times. Why? Because the sword that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to destroy the Mitzrayim during Makos Bechoros was called Yud Vav Hei Chaf. It's a shame of a kashroku called Yud Vav Hei Chaf. Says the Magen Avraham, that's why we dip 16 times. Yud Vav is the gematria 16 half that you take out of the cup. And that's why you dip 16 times. That's why you take out 16 times. Whatever you want to call it, that's why you do it 16 times. It's a Magen Avraham. It's not like a Makobu. It's the Magen Avraham that says that. Says the Gra, Yachid, Sarabim, Talacha, Kirabim. First letters, Yud Vav Hei Chaf. The Rashi tables. Why? Because that's the shame that you use when somebody travels. Ki Malachov Yitzave Loch. The last letters, Yud Vav Hei Chaf. Vayitzi Yaakov Miber Sheva Lichara. Vayitzi Yaakov Miber Sheva Charana. Strange word. Vayitzi Yaakov Miber Sheva, it should be Lichara. But instead it says, Vayelech Charana. And he went to Charan. What's the extra letters over here? You could have just said the words Licharan, and that would have been good enough. The extra letters, Vayelech, an extra Vav, an extra Yud, an extra Chaf. Charana, an extra He. Because it could have said the word Licharan. That's the shame of Yud Vav Hei Chaf. That wherever Yaakovin went, he had that shame with him. He had that malach with him, taking care of him wherever he went. And why? Because he was always going by himself. He was always taking care of himself. Says Rechai Velash, and that's the shock of the Gra. That's what the Gra meant when he would tell people Yaakov around the Lashon Rab. Now let's take it a little bit further. From our mitzvos, the Satan says, you're able to create malachim that are good and malachim that are bad. From mitzvos, you're able to create good malachim. From averos, from things that you don't do, then that's going to create bad averos. We all know that when you come to din, there's supposed to be the good malachim that come in, the bad malachim that come in. Some of them are supposed to be full, some of them are not, because sometimes you do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to bear l'shem, unfortunately, for l'shem taiva, sometimes you do l'hachet. So it depends on what the malachim are supposed to look like. But there's malachim of Eretz Yisrael, and there's malachim of Chutz La'aretz. Because all the mitzvahs that you do, there's a difference if you do them in Eretz Yisrael and if you do them in Chutz La'aretz. Machanoim. That was the two camps of Malachim that came to greet Yaakov Avinu, that came to greet him at the end of last week's parsha, that Yaakov sent from those Machanoim, because Machanoim stands for Me'osem Chayolos, Nuttel Yaakov Malachim. That's Machanoim, the letters themselves, the Das Kanim at the end of the Mikras Gedolos. Me'osem Chayolos, Nuttel Yaakov Malachim. That works out well, right? Yeah, Machanoim. So that Machanoim, those two camps altogether, those were the Malachim that he sent over. What do those mean? What's that referring to? What kind of malachim is he sending over? Here we go. There's machlokis in the Gemara Bava Metzia. It seems to be a Tosos says it's Michal instead of Rufal. But there's two people. There's Gabriel and one other malach that ended up going down to Sodom. As they went down to Sodom, when they went down to Sodom, they went there and they said the following two words, Mashchisim Anachnu. We are going to destroy this land. We're going to destroy all of Sodom. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to destroy it? You're going to destroy it? Who are you? I'm going to destroy it. Not you. Not the Malachim. It's very hard to understand. Malachim? They can mess up. In a human form, they must be able to mess up. Says Yonasan ben Uzziel. Atano. Yonasan ben Uzziel says, those Malachim were punished. They weren't allowed back to Shemayim. Whoever was Michal, Gabriel and either Michal or Raphael weren't allowed back in Shemayim. Until Yaakovinu had the dream, and the malachim that were all in the Yordim bow, the malachim that went up to Shemayim in the ladder, were those malachim that Yaakovinu was able to be metakin and bring back up to Shemayim. It was Gabriel and either Michal or Raphael that went up the ladder, said to the malachim in Shemayim, you'll never believe what kind of a person we have down there. Go look at that person. He's almost like a malach himself. Go check him out. And the malachim came down to go look at Yaakovinu. Those were the malachim of Eretz Yisrael going up, malachim of Chutz La'aretz coming down. Question. Why did they get to go up then? It's been over 160 years since Sodom was destroyed. Why go up when Yaakov went? Let's explain a little bit about Yaakovinu. What was the malachim's problem? They sat there and said, Mashchisim Anachnu. You know what Pshat is? They got messed up from the tomb of Shechem. It is impossible to go to town and not get affected. It is impossible to stop by a seminary and not get affected. It's impossible to go to Sinai on a Tuesday and not get affected. Because you know there's going to be girls there. You know there's tumah around. You know there's problems. It's impossible to go to an airport and not get affected. You can't have a TV screen on every single airplane and not get affected. It's impossible. There's no way you can handle it. There's no way you come back for the first 5 minutes of billboards. Because you forget what billboards are like. Because you're in Neve Yaakov. And whenever there's a girl there, there's black paint the next day. flipping. You're not going to see anybody. You forget sometimes what a girl looks like. Because either they're wearing barcas all over the place, here, in an echo, or there's so many girls and you shouldn't be looking anyway. So you're looking down, looking away the whole time. Then all of a sudden you're on the plane, your eyes are glued to other people that are sitting around you. And for some reason, the people at Al Al, and sometimes even Continental, American, somehow think, you know what would be a great idea? Let's set up that guy with that girl. And row 33 happens to have A, guy, B, girl, C, guy, D, girl. And it always works out that way. I know you start off the conversation, you feel like a little embarrassed, you don't want to bother anybody, you sit there and he's just like, you're looking over and you're just like, I can't talk to her. But by the end of the conversation, you got your arm around her, you exchange numbers. I mean, you're going back home, you're getting in the same car together. You're practically married. You said, are you credentials already? You're done. And then you dump her 4 days later. It's all good. But that's exactly what happens. And the movies, you're so stark, you don't want to see anything, but the movie screen is right in front of you. And every time you press off, it goes back on. And you can't understand how. You have no idea how it's happening. It's like there's somebody waiting there watching you saying, he's not watching TV. He's back from yeshiva. That's what he's supposed to do. What's wrong with him? It's impossible. Because he can't walk past these places and not get affected. And the Malachim saw that firsthand. They went to stone. And they got affected. Even Malachim got affected. So what do they have to do to get a tikkun? They got to find somebody who won't be affected. Well, I'll tell you who's the king of not being affected. Yaakov is. Can I tell you a little conversation that happened? When Yaakov was 63 years old. 63 years old. His parents go up to him and say to him, Yaakov, you know, it might be time to start settling down. You know, 63. Might be a little bit. I think it's time. And Yaakov says, Mom, Dad, I appreciate it. I think I need a little more time in yeshiva. Just a little bit more. It's okay, a year, Shana Aleph, Shana Beis. We can do that. I think I need 14. Can you imagine that? He didn't get to Lavan until he was 77. And then when he got there, he goes up to Lavan and he says, I want to marry your daughter. Pretty straightforward. Lavan said, I hear you. What are you going to give me for? And he says, well, my money was all taken by Elifa, so I'll work for it. What do you think Lavan was thinking? Half a year, a year. Yaakov offers 7 years. You're 77 years old. You're old. What were you thinking? This is not the time to dilly-dally. You know, say, oh, what is he? What was this? And he gets married at 84. And yeah, he made up for it. 7 years. Impressive. Yeah, that's true. But what I said, it's just so strange. What was Yaakov even thinking? What does that mean? You know why? Because he understood. He understood. You don't walk into Lavan's house and expect to be okay. You want to come back from Lavan and say, "In Lavan Garzi, Tariyak Mitzvah Shamarti," and sing it like Leit Tahor. You got to sit there and you got to say to yourself, "I got to do something. I got to do something to affect myself. I got to do something to work on myself to make myself better." So where do I go? Let's go to the people who have been through this. Shame had passed away about 15 years earlier. Shame had lived. Shame was also really old. Shame lived through Dor Mabel, Dor Aplaga, Dor Sidon, and Aver also. He wasn't there for Dor Mabel, but he lived through this area. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going on with Dor Aplaga and Dor Sidon. He knew what was going on with that. Only Shame and Aver could teach you how to live by someone and not get affected by that tumor. To still sit there and learn. And Yaakov even knew that. And he said, I can't spend 1 year there. I can't spend 2 years there. I gotta spend 14 years getting into Yeshiva Shem Aver to understand what it means, to really learn, to really get into it. That's what I have to do. There's no way for me to do anything else. It's just not possible. Do you understand that? 1 year in Eretz Yisrael is nothing. Nothing. Yaakov needed 14 years to prepare himself. Now granted, we're not going back to Lavan. We're not going back to Lavan. We're going back to Esau. You need time. And even when he was by Lavan, he needed time. He still wasn't sure because he wanted to have the perfect trusting. He wanted the perfect people. He wanted no psul, no Yishmael, no Esau. He wanted everyone to be perfect. And he got it because he did it. He went for 14 years. He got married at 84. He got himself ready for it. Got himself ready. That's the level of Yaakov. That's why he was able to send Gabriel and either Michal or fall back upstairs. Because they saw that and they saw the tikkun. So when Yaakov came back, they saw him and they realized he was unaffected. He did.
He did.
They came down to greet him. They said, Shkoya, you did a great job. We've never seen anyone like you. We've never seen anyone. And those malachim were sent over to Esav. Michal and either Gabriel and Raphael sent over to Esav to say to Esav, look at this guy. He didn't get affected by love. He didn't falter. He worked on himself. He did it. And look at him now. Tarayag mitzvah shemati. And he's got 4 wives and 11 kids because of it. And he's got a lot of sheep. How much better can you be? 600,000 to be exact, if you want to go with all the different proportion. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a little bit of Rav Shor, to just try to fit things together. Satama says that the malachim that were sent were not the malachi Eretz Yisrael. Not like what we just said. Malachim of Chutz La'aretz were sent out. Malachim Chutz La'aretz are based on mitzvos that you do b'chol instead of on Shabbos. So what kind of malachim did he send? He sent the malachim that he created from the mitzvah of tefillin. From that mitzvah of tefillin. You know why? Because Esav is Seder. He stands for the hairs on top of your head. The more hair you have, the more tummy you are. That's why Rabbi Hartman makes you get haircuts. That's the idea behind it. The more beard you got, the more chashiv you look. I know. It's fine. You don't have to worry about that. That's the idea behind hair. So what do you do with tefillin? You put it on top of your hair. You surround your hair. And you knock down the klipos that are attached to your hair. You put on the tefillin. You take on the kedusha from Shemayim, then you take the straps off, since we're in a bechayil, it goes straight down your body and enters inside your body. You think it's dumb that we wear a tefillin on the other hand? I'm a lefty, so I put it on my right hand. Because I do all my mitzvahs with my left hand. My left hand is automatically kosher. My left hand automatically is kedusha. My right arm doesn't have anything. So what do you do for that? You strap around the tefillin. And you infuse kedusha within your arm. And it goes the opposite way for a righty, obviously. There's so many things going on with your tefillin. Says Rav Shor, the way to infuse kedusha within yourself is to start off the morning right with a coffee and with your tefillin. To start off and put your tefillin on and to sit there, have everything down on top of you and to say, I want kedusha. I want this to be mine. I want it to work. And infuse yourself with kedusha to start off your day. If you don't do that, or you just do the by rote, put it on, jump off, just throw it off and then get to Seder, buddy, it's not going to work. Seder's not going to flow. Because you got no kedusha. You got nothing within you. You're automatically going to have your hair. You're going to have Esav grabbing onto you. Those are the malachim that he sent over. Do a little bit more than that. Yaakov got 2 machmas. There's 2 camps that he sent over. You know why? Because Esav was a skitz. Hatzileni no miad achi miad Esav. From my brother, from Esav. There's 2 parts to Esav. And here's the fourth. At the end of Parshas Tolos, Esav goes and marries Machlas, Basi Shmuel. You know why? Because Esav realized that he himself was not powerful enough. Yaakov just beat him. He got the brachos. Esav's not powerful enough. Esav stood for Midas Adin. He was the son of Yitzchak Avinu. He just took Midas Adin to a different level. You know what he did? He went up to Yitzchak Avinu and he said, that guy spoke Lashon Hara. We gotta kill him. He deserves to die. Yitzchak Avinu said to him, listen, you gotta have a little bit of rachamim. Even Yitzchak understood. You gotta wait. Erech Apayim. You gotta wait a little bit for that guy. Let him do tshuva. Esav said, no! You gotta kill him now! He's Midas Adin. He sees the guy doing something wrong. He sees the guy cut him off. He takes out his gun and shoots him. There's no rachamim. There's no rachamim. There's not even, I'll cut him off again. There's none of that. He deserves to die right now. And he did it. He went out and he did it. If a guy did something wrong, if a guy went against the law, he was the policeman who went around shooting one after the other, capping. Go like that. Not that, this. Going ahead and shooting him that way to take care of him. To think this is what the world needs. He realized that's not good enough. Because Yaakov was very strong. And Yaakov can defeat that. So what did he do? He married Yishmael. He married into Yishmael's family. And he had that daughter to bring in Yishmael's power. You know what Yishmael's power was? He was a son of Avram Avinu. He took on chesed. And he needed that chesed and to bring it in. But it's a different type of chesed. You know, marrying your sister is a chesed. It's called a chesed who, according to the Chumash. So what does chesed mean? It means an idea of extremism, being an extremist in the wrong way. It can happen in the right way. You could be a chesed. You could be a great person. But you could use chesed in the wrong way. My sister, she's been looking for a shidduch for so long. All she wants is to have a kid. I'll let her have that kid. That's chesed messed up.
That's Yishmael's chesed. That's the Gilio Rias of Yishmael. Thinking this is the right thing to do. This is the right idea. You think Stone was just a bunch of fools? That if a person went ahead and hit a lady in the stomach and caused her to miscarry, that the judges said, you have to go impregnate that girl? They misunderstood what chesed meant. They didn't know what it meant. They thought the greatest chesed is giving of yourself to another person. They thought that you impregnating that woman was an unbelievable act of chesed. They messed up entirely. They used Ava in the wrong way. That's Yishmael. So look what Esav did. Esav was not only Esav. Esav was Achi. He's my brother. And that's really hard. Because to fight my brother takes a lot more power. To fight Esav, I know he's evil. I'm not going to go by Rambo. If the guy's wearing bullets on his chest, and he's walking around killing people, shooting people, plundering, just doing terrible things, I'm not going to hang out with him. But if the guy's my brother, well, even then I won't hang out, you know, guys know. But if he's my brother, it's hard. How do I stay away from him? You know the whole idea of Golas Esav, Golas Edom, and then Golas Yishmael at the very end? Everybody's heard Golas Edom and then there's Golas Yishmael. That doesn't mean that the Yishmael are going to rule over us. That doesn't mean that those algebra few fools are going to sit there and say, we're going to rule the world. You get it? Because the Arabs made algebra? Way to go, guys. So if those guys were able to sit there, that they're going to rule over us, they're not going to rule over us. They're a backward nation. They're dead. Nothing's going to happen with them. Even if they get an atomic bomb, they'll bomb themselves. I want Iran to get an atomic bomb. It might be the only way for us to destroy Iran. That'll be the only way. They'll just blow up their own thing. They'll be like, oh, didn't mean it. And it's okay, because if you attempt to kill a Jew, you still get your 72 bazoolas. So you just blow yourselves up. You'll be fine. You'll be fine no matter what you do. Such an unbelievable nation. Because you know what they are? They're not going to be in charge. It's Esav with Yishmael. At first, in this gullus, and it's been a 2,000-year gullus. It's Esav at his very best. Esav being evil. Esav killing us in any way possible. Whether it's through crusades, or it's through pogroms, or it's through inquisitions, or it's through the Holocaust. It doesn't make a difference. Esav is ready to kill us. And you know what it is now? He's my brother. He's my friend. Because my next door neighbor who's not Jewish is a heck of a lot nicer than my next door neighbor who's Jewish. And that's just a true fact. And those who live in Brooklyn know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe not the idea of what it means to have a non-Jewish neighbor, but the idea of just, you start thinking to yourself, this guy's my brother? He's not a friend of mine. He's not a guy that I like. I can't stand him. Look at what yeshiva he goes to. What's wrong with him? But Esav, oh, he's my friend. This guy's my friend. He really means something to me. He's a guy that I can hang out with. He's a guy that I can chill with. That's a guy that I want to be with. Hatzileni nosed yachminim yarachim yad Esav. I know that Esav is a different, fine, there's Esav. But now I get Yishmael to deal with as well. I get Yishmael within Esav. That's even harder. He's my brother. That's why Yaakov, you know, had to fight a lot more. And had to send these malachim in. Because Esav realized this. Now I'm going to start bringing you the riots. Aside from the whole still an issue. I'm going to give you guys a bunch of gemachos right now. The tomb of Yishmael is the word Aksa. It's mentioned by the Zohar. Not that I do the Zohar, but you know it is. That's the reason why we say Atika and Shalshah. Okay, we're all good. Anyway, Aksa is the gemachah 571, which same gemachah is Ketiv Mariri. That's the shade that comes in the 3 weeks during the afternoon. It's mentioned in Gemara Pesachim. Sadi Aleph, Talem Sadi Aleph, that's what you're talking about when you say Ketiv Mariri on Sadi Aleph and Moshe Shabbos, because that's when he comes in right when the Kedusha leaves and everything's gone. So you have to take over the Tumah to be able to do that. You have to rule over Ketiv Mariri. That's 571.
Oh.
To fill in with that one Yud is 571. The reason why it's 571 is specifically, if you really wear it, so you have it on, it's supposed to be 571 as well. There's no 571, it's 570 in the added on word, but that's kol, and the reason why is because you're supposed to wear Bikl Shem Shemayim. That's how kol works. It's always including the word in order to do that, to combat that tumah. So what did Yaakov going to do? He took the malachim that he had for tefillin. Those malachim they added for tefillin. He took the 571 to be mevakel, the klipa of Esav that was in Yishmael, the klipa of Yishmael that was within Esav. And he did it specifically with Shema, which is 25 letters, which is the idea of Ko Somar, Esav. This is what you're supposed to go to do Esav, the 25 letters in the first pasuk of Shema. And by doing that, he's able to destroy and he's able to take down, and that's the whole idea about again, the first thing is Shimshon in this week's parsha with 677, Ezra Savosenu, with Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim being 677. It's the same exact thing as Michoel, Malkiel, and Shenandi, which are the three Malachim that he's supposed to send over, which is the idea behind Rashi, Malachim Mamish, which is Michoel, Malkiel,
Malkiel Shenandi, that's Men Men Shin. Okay, you're all good. You'll get it eventually. You have tapes. All right, so that's that. I'm going to give you rides. Here's my rides. I have four of them all together. Number one, everybody knows this Gemara. Nobody has any idea what it's talking about. The demon in Abaye's Beis Medrash. Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes by, and Abaye decides, let's send Rav Acha bar Yaakov to destroy the demons. Let's get Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov stays in the Beis Medrash as he's sleeping. The seven-headed demon comes up, and he's not scared. He gets up there, and he starts diving into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every time he makes a kriya, every time he bows, he destroys one of the heads of the shaver. Destroys one of the heads of the shaver. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Yaakov Veni says, that shade was the tomb of Yishmael. That shade and that demon was supposed to be the tomb of Yishmael. Supposed to be the exact same thing as Ketiv Mariri. And that's what Rav Acha bar Yaakov was fighting. Listen, guys. Bar Yaakov. There's something that Yaakov Avinu has to do over here. Something that Yaakov Avinu is talking about. The idea behind it is the tumas inside the world. The natural order of things in which Yishmael and Esav are taking over the world and destroying everything. To destroy that, yeah. Rav Acha bar Yaakov had to be unaffected by that tumah. So what did he do? It says, Marsha, he davened Shmon Esrei. He sat there and davened Shmon Esrei. There's seven times that you bow in Shmon Esrei. First bracha there's two, modim there's two, and the three bounds at the very end of Osei Shalom. That's seven altogether for those who can count. 2 + 2 + 3. It works out well. That's the algebra judge before. That's seven. Those are the seven bounds altogether. And each time he bowed down, he's able to destroy a different tumah from that thing. And that's the pshat behind Yesh Li Rav Achi, what Esav said. Rav Acha is what he's referring to. Rav Achi is the Gemashir 571. And that's the idea how Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is supposed to destroy the Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav that's supposed to be out there. Not really, right? It's just something cool. Here's the real area. Here's how it really goes. Vayishak Kehi, that Esav tried kissing Yaakov. You know, everybody knows the Medrash. Some say that he went ahead to go ahead and kiss Yaakov Avinu, and really he wanted to bite him. And he became a vampire. Can you imagine, like, somebody saw that medrash? He tried biting his neck. It's for sure where vampires come from. For sure. Somebody said, like, Esav was a vampire. You know why? Because he loved red food. That means he loved blood. And he bit Yaakov's neck. So he's a vampire. Don't you see it's true? I'm telling you, look at the Chumash.
No, it's probably somebody from Transylvania. You know, he's like, and he lived there. And some guy like came up with it, and somebody here is like going to go around and be like, right there, and say he's a vampire. And I could be like, oh my gosh, I have 4,000 tapes here. You're going to hear, I'm being sarcastic. He was not a vampire. But he went to try to bite him on the neck. Or the Medrash says, he went to go kiss him. According to the end of the Medrash, no matter how you learn it, whether we went to bite him or we went to kiss him, no matter what you say, Yaakov's neck turned to stone. Marble, it says in the Medrash Rabbah, it turned into stone. What's shot behind stone? The Gemara, whenever the Chumash mentions something, kasha, kid, barza, iron, metal. What's stone? Why did you become stone? If you want to say you're hard, that it broke his teeth on you, why do you use stone? Says the Shem Yishmol. You know what pshat is? Because it was his brother, and he loves him, and he wants to kiss him. And Yaakov is so afraid, if he kisses me, I'm going to be affected by him. He's going to bring me some of his tumah. He's going to show me that he's my brother, and that I love you, and that I want to be together with you. I want to walk with you. Let me walk with you, Esav begs him. And Yaakov wanted nothing to do with it. Yaakov wanted to separate. He wanted to be on his own. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So he turned into stone. Metal is mekabel tumah. Stone is not. So he specifically turned into stone. Had he been metal, there would have been some type of an effect on Yaakov. He would have taken in the kiss, there would have been a blia, and there would have been a bad effect. Stone is perfect. That's why he turned into stone. I'll give you another one. He sent over shore, sent over oxen, sent over sheep, he sent over goats, donkeys, and camels. But when he talks to Esav, the first thing he says is, he says, Yeshli, shor v'chamor, son v'eved v'shipcha. He doesn't mention the camels. Sown is both sheep and goats, but he never mentions the camels. What happened to the camels? Why didn't he mention camels? He sent over camels, so why didn't he mention the camels? Says the Meshech Hachman, only the Or Samach can make such an insight. Only the Or Samach. There's no one else that can do such a thing. He says, you know what pshat is? Because the Gemal has one stem in Tumah and one stem in Tahor. All the other animals mentioned are either totally Tahor or totally Tameh. What did Esav expect? He sees Yaakov coming back from love, and he expects, he's got to be a little bit tummy. There's for sure a little bit of tumah. He was by Laban for 20 years. There's for sure some sort of effect. There's a little bit of tumor within Yaakovim. But Yaakovim came back and said, no, I've got everything. I am perfect. I'm showing. Tariyot mitzvah shamarti, I'm fine. And you know what he said? He said, look at these animals that I'm sending. Yesh li, what I got is either I'm totally tahor or I'm totally tummy. I'm not faking it. I don't have one simen tara and one simen tuma showing the world one thing while really I'm something else on the inside. I'm not that. That's not me. I'm either totally tahor or totally tummy. If you see even a tiny bit of tuma inside me, Esau, then I'm totally tummy. But I'm not. I'm completely tahor. Yesh li, in me, I'm either totally tall or totally tummy. What I'm going to give to you is a camel. You know why? Because Esav's a pig. And a pig is one simen tara and one simen tuma. And Esav understands the fact that on the outside you could be one way, but on the inside you're totally different. Yaakov, never. He would never do it. That would never happen to him. Because Yaakov cannot be a faker. And we know all about fakers. We know all about them. That's Esav. Got one last one. The last one is another Meshach Chochma. Avram Avinu was known, according to the Gemara in Erevin, Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kola Torah Kula, Afilu a Ruvei Tav Shilin. Even making an Erev for food on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Yaakov Avinu, when he first came to Shechem, he made an Erev Tichum. Erev Tichumin. He made an Erev, but the Tichum around to be able to walk a little bit further on Shabbos. What in the world is up with this Mitzvah Chazal? What do we want with Erev Tichumin versus Erev Tav Shilin? You know why? Because they're two totally separate jobs in life. Avram Avinu and Nefesh Shasu Bacharim. He's making gear wherever he goes. He sees somebody with a Avodah Zarah. He smashes the Avodah Zarah. He destroys the Avodah Zarah. I don't want anything to do with the Avodah Zarah. I want all of you guys to come with me. Everybody with me. Whoever came over to his house was invited for a meal. I don't care who you are. If you have to wash off the Avodah Zarah from their feet, you're still eating over by my house. Everyone's invited. Inclusive. Very inclusive. That's Eruv Tav Shilin. Making more food for the guests that are coming on Shabbos. But Yaakov Avinu, when Rachel takes the trophim, Yaakov Avinu says, I swear that whoever took your Avodah Zarah will die. Your grandfather destroyed the Avodah Zarah. You lived in Lavan's house for 20 years and you didn't destroy it? How in the world? You should know, by the way, the Shlach Kadosh says that's the reason why the Kibshon Eish is not mentioned in the Torah. Because are you allowed to go down to an idol store, like, I don't know, some Christian shop where they're selling, like, and there are, you know, the types of Christians that bow down to the crosses and whatever. So you'll have to go and smash the crosses? You'll have to go in and do that? You'll have to do what Avram Avinu did? Halakha l'maaseh says the Shlach Kadosh? No. That's why it's not written in the Torah. Because everything that's written in the Torah is halakha l'maaseh and what we have to do. So what Avram Avinu did was not something that we can do. Yaakov Avinu didn't. Yaakov Avinu didn't do it. He wouldn't do that. He said that the person who does so should die. Should die. Where do you see a single gear that Yaakov Avinu made? Yitzchok Avinu at least had the wells, and the Rebbe Yonah's son, I should say that refers to Gerim, that he dug the wells for Gerim, and he said that's why the Pleshim, when they stopped them, they closed them up with dirt. That was Ke'ilu. They were destroying the wells. They were destroying the Gerim. They were trying to tell them about it. That's why the general of the Pleshim's army was a guy by the name of Bichol. His mouth was in everything. He was able to tell people. That was Yitzchok. Yitzchok Avinu offered you all into making Gerim. Different types of Gerim. They're all into making Gerim. But Yaakov, no Gerim. He's got nothing. Nothing. He set up a wall. And he said, no one gets out, no one gets in. Esau's not in here, Lavan's not in here, Shechem's not in here, no one's in. I don't want anyone in here. And I don't want us going out. He set up a wall because he knew his children had to be perfect. To start off Klal Yisrael correctly, you could not have any tomb at all. No bleas, no anything. The whole place had to be completely kadosh. We understood that. And he made a tchum. And he said, nobody gets past here. You know what the problem is? You can go down yourself. He broke down the walls. The Yavanim, their point was to break down the barriers. The tchum that Yaakov Avinu set up for us. That we are different. We're not like them. We're not like them. They're not our brothers. They're not related to us. They're nothing to us. They're nothing. The Yavanim broke it down. They broke down the wall. They destroyed the wall. They said, everybody in! Everybody out! Let's go, guys! We'll go to gymnasiums together. We'll go do stuff together. We'll make bathhouses. We'll do everything.
And that killed us. That killed us. A different type of killing. The only way to do it is set up a wall. Now, granted, our walls have to have some type of breach. It's not like Yaakov. We can't stop ourselves from living in the world. It's impossible. What are you going to do? You're going to get a Haredi plane? I know you got a Haredi bus. How is this going to work? You can't do it. You have to live in the world, and we all know it. We're all going to go back. We're all going to do all these things. We know what's going to happen to us. So you got to make some type of a wall. Make it like a 1 foot little Hutz of a Daphne wall. I don't care what you're going to do, but you got to make something. You got to make something. You got to put something up, because if you don't, you're dead. Because you're just going to become one of them. You're just like one of them. Because there isn't that much difference between the way we dress. There isn't that much difference in the way we look. We've got the keep on our head, we can cover it up with a hat. We've got the pace, we can put them behind our ears. We got the beard, can't really get rid of that. Can't really. But you still look weird. You look strange. It's fine, I'm good with it. I'm used to it already, you know. Haven't looked in a mirror in a while. It's different. It's a different world. The idea behind it is to say to yourself, I got to protect myself. So how are you going to protect yourself? What are you going to do? What are you going to prepare yourself for? You're going back soon. This is 3.5 months from now. Well, basically, it's a little early. 3 months from now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you're going to my brother's wedding, 2.5 months from now, you can tell about the hachon. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to prepare yourself. You got to get yourself ready now. Because it ain't going to happen when you're on the plane. It ain't going to happen when you're in the airport. It's not going to happen when you're going home with your old friend who picks you up and offers you something that you haven't had in so long. Why can't that go ahead and happen? Why can't they go ahead and do this? Why can't I go somewhere or go somewhere else and do whatever? Sometimes those things get brought into and is inoculated into, that's a big word, and brought into this type of a society. Sometimes it's really bad. Stop it. Just stop it. Put up a wall. Say to yourself, what do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Here's where the business part comes in. 35 minutes. Good. Here's the business part comes in. I got about a minute and a half. I'm here for Skokie Yeshiva. That's why I'm supposed to be here. I'm based because I like to be in base. And the Rosh Yeshiva knows me extremely well. Baruch Hashem, I've been able to be very, very close to the Rosh Yeshiva. And whenever he comes into town, he's always at Skokie. He's seen a difference. Because there is a difference. And thank God it was due to my brother coming back for a month and being able to sit down at Skokie Yeshiva and help them learn. And it is due to Chaim Chernoff, if anybody remembers him from last year, who's now learning with us. Moshe Geishman, if anybody remembers him from before. It's due to all the people in Chicago that are around. Shimmy Castle, who else is there? I think that's it for now. I think there's a fifth guy. I don't remember him by heart. It's all there. Because, to be honest with you, Chicago's out of it. It's not New York, shockingly enough. Because sometimes, you gotta be out of New York. You want a date? Do you know how many shachanim I talk to every day? Do you know how many shachanim have called me while I'm here in Eretz Yisrael? Do you know how many things I deal with? I set up that guy, for God's sake. If I could do him, I could do anyone here. Trust me. I'm sorry, Josh. It was better in KBY because that was, you know, a little bit different. But it's something that you just take care of. Sometimes you've got to be around people that care that you're there and that know you're there. That will look at you and say, what happened? What happened at Seder this morning? That care about you. That really want to know where you are and not just faking it. Because I am, thank God, Rabbi Lehrfield has grown me to be a real person. And I am kulo tahor or kulo tameh. I don't know which one yet. Hopefully I'll find out after 120. And I hope it's the right way because I'm in a lot of trouble otherwise. But I'm either kulo tahor or kulo tameh. But I honestly believe that what I can do and what Skokie Yeshiva can do is for real. That it's not a fake. We have 41 Bachurim right now, 9 Kol members. We're planning on growing up to 75, going up to 75. We want to do it in the next couple of years, and we know it's going to be a slow process. There are people here who need this. There are people here who deny it, who sit there and say, no, I don't really need it. I'm not really thinking about it. I don't really need to do this. And I understand that. But some of you are lying. Some of you know you need it. There are some of you that are sitting here and saying to themselves, this is a joke. And it's not. It's for real. Because people need this. Because sometimes you get lost, and then you're gone. You're gone. You'll live a great life, it'll be tremendous, and you'll never have reached where you're supposed to be. If you're in base, and you're learning here, and you're staying in Eretz Yisrael, don't even think about it. Because I'd kill you. Because there's no reason to leave a place where you're learning. Absolutely no reason. If there's a reason why you have to come back to America, consider it. Because you need it. Not all of you. Some of you need it. And there is something out there. Because of that, we started a survey. We've done our whole thing with college because we know that people need it. And to be honest with you, listen, you're base guys. You're not KBY, Shaolin, everything else. You guys know, you want to get out of college quickly. I understand that. We do that. We can give you a BTL. We have psychology degrees, business degrees. We have a new pharmacy program because pharmacists make $93,000 right off the bat when they leave. It's 6 years. We have a whole program that ends up working out with a Midwestern university where you get in automatically as long as you have a high SAT score. We have pre-dental. We have pre-med. We're starting a pre-engineering course. We know this. We understand this because people need it. But what I say, it boils down to, listen, your parnas is going to come no matter what. It'll come. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. At the end of the day, that's not what's so important. What's important is that you have someone in America because that soul is 8 hours away. And calling your Rebbe, and I know this personally from my Mashkiach and my Rosh Yeshiva here in base, and my Rosh Yeshiva and my Rebbe in the mirror, Rav Asher and Rav Nassim Tzvi, that it is absolutely impossible for me to get a hold of them. The only time I get to see them is when I come there at the soul. And Baruch Hashem, I have that connection. But it is impossible to get a hold of them. And you need someone. Now, I have a survey for those people who can take 1 minute out. The idea is to try to understand what people want and where they're going. Those people who are not considering Skokie in the least bit should not take the survey. Those people who are considering it even to the extent where it's just like a 1% chance should take it. Tell us what you're looking for. We're raffling off the shots throughout all the yeshivas. We're going to pick one out of the hat, and that person that gets it is going to get that shots. It's not just in base. It's throughout all the yeshivas that we've had. But the survey is big, because we want to know what we need to do. We want to know where we're standing. We want to see the results. We want to see what's happening. Because we're for real. We are for real. And we're going to do this, with or without you. We're going to do this. And preferably with some of you. Not all of you, because, again, we want to remain small. But with some of you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Shabbos. Thank you.